Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of the Lockdown featuring T Cub and the Ball Hawk. That's right. That's Petty Hawk, always in that star in trouble, chest poked out, picking at people, serving shut the hell up juice. Mm-hmm. That's just what he do.
Yeah, like Michael said, you want to be starting something.
Exactly. Special guest this week is extraordinary running back. Mm-hmm. From UVA back in the day, Harry Jones, aka Superman. Can call him Superman.
Hey, I'm glad to be part of this, man. I be watching y'all all the time and see that y'all doing this on a big stage, man. And it's kind of a way for me to even catch up with some of my old guys. So, appreciate y'all.
Oh, that's awesome, man. We appreciate the support, man. And, bro, you know, I just want to get into it, man. Look, I'm going to go ahead and just start this joint talking about your high school days, fam. Just because, bro, I mean, I didn't even. So the beautiful thing that I love, Perry, is we get to examine dudes and the things that they did that I didn't even know. Dude, I did not know your linebacker game was what it was in high school, fam. I mean, I was like, wait a minute. Hard-hitting linebacker Perry Jones. I'm like, hold up, am I on the right? Am I clicking on? Was that a misprint? Bruh, can you please tell us what in the heck was going on with you just laying a hammer on jokers in high school? Hey, I'm talking about leading the team in tackles as a junior at 141 tackles, 26 tackles for loss, and 11 sacks. That was his junior year. Intercepted five passes and ran one back. Okay, let's just start there. Then he wanna run it back and go his senior year, 119 tackles, 28 tackles for loss, and 10 sacks while recording 4 INTs. Oh yeah, and rushing for 1,800 plus yards and 30 touchdowns.
Like inside back or outside back?
Inside, man. I want all that smoke, bro. Inside. Hey, man,
you gonna have to convince me, dog. What y'all doing up there, dog? How you biting so many chests, dog?
Like, you know, just being my stature and understanding that, yes, I was playing out of position. Everybody knew I wasn't going to be an inside backer in college. You know, at the time, I was, 5'7", 170 pounds, and soaking wet in high school. And I played with some dogs. Like, the guy beside me that I played with, his name was Gerard Askew, legit linebacker, 6'2", 220 pounds in high school. Mm-hmm. I had to play big. And, you know, recruiters was coming to the games and they were talking to, you know, I had played with 4 D1 receivers at the time. My quarterback was the number one quarterback in the country. So they were coming to see them. So I was like, okay, y'all can come see them, but you're going to be leaving thinking about me. And I knew I had to play bigger than everybody. And you just, when I stepped between those lines, man, I was out to take souls. It's like, I mean, it's no other way around it. I studied the game so much that, you know, I was able to just kind of not think and just play. And that, you know, and with the tenacity of, you know, of always being the underdog.
Yeah.
And the guy, I always had something to prove. So, I mean, that's just kind of how I started, man. Just took off from there.
And Superman, what's the area code of your high school?
Oh, Lord, here we go.
They can't see it, but we're going to say 7-5. That's all we got to say. 7-5.
Again, here we go. Why don't we just call this the 7-5-7 lockdown?
I thought he was slick, ladies and gentlemen. He just tried to say, yo, high school, not the high school. Not
Oscar Smith. My bad.
It's Oscar Smith. You know what I'm saying? He like had to high across the water because they big time rattling cages and stuff.
Hey, this dude was two-time first team All-State linebacker, two-time all-time water, two-time district defensive player of the year.
In that district.
In that district. Mm-hmm. And named the group AAA player of the year by the Associated Press for leading his team to the state championship. Oh, and we ain't going to even talk about in the playoffs his senior year on that state championship run. This joker rushed for 949 yards and 10 scores in 5 playoff games.
That's eating. That's good.
Bro, you was out there just for real. I think you said it best. You was taking souls on both sides of the rock.
That's it. Man, I just carried it over to the offensive side. Again, I didn't play running back until my senior year. We always had good running backs. So I played, you know, inside linebacker, and I was the fullback.
What?
Yeah, I was fullback.
You a certified DAWG. You know what I'm saying?
On a pass first offense. Again, I played with 4 D1 receivers. Like,
yes, you did.
4 D1 guys. So it's just like whenever I got to make it count. I got to make it.
You got to call some of them dudes out.
Yeah, it was Tim. Tim was on that team, right?
Jeff, who played with me at Virginia, who I still
broke my touchdown receiving record down at the crib. He had 20. I had 19. Keep going, that sucker. Broke my
University of Maryland. Art Harrelson went to UNC, and Jamal Wilson played at Marshall, and Phil Sims, you know, who actually, he played at Alabama. So I had guys, man. So how can I stand out amongst? So just had to get to it, man. And I use my story. And again, I even have kids on this team who don't even know I play football because I don't use that. But whenever it's time, I like, you know, guys like, oh, I want to get recruited. I want to go to college. Well, you're undersized. Okay, so what you want, because you're already going to get overlooked from that standpoint. So, okay, how can you get in front of these guys? What's going to make you stand out? And you need to make sure that whenever they come, pop on the tape, they need to say, okay, that number 33, I don't know where he's going to play, but he's a ball player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to tell it to the guys for motivation, man. So
when they pop on the tape, they need to pop.
Jesus. Come on, man. That's it.
That's the testimony right there, fam, for sure. And your brothers, so you had brothers that was in the game too. Yep. So a big brother was kind of that idol for you, huh?
He definitely was, man. And he led the way. So when he left, like my freshman year was his senior year, and when he like graduated, my head coach Richard Morgan, who you know, is one of the greats, when he just plugged me into every spot that my older brother played in. So I'm talking every single spot, fullback, middle linebacker, front line of the kick return team. I took pride in that. I took pride in those type of things. But I think, you know, when it came, you know, came down to it, that's what kind of, you know, kind of set me apart from a lot of those guys, because I was willing to do whatever. I was going to make the team look good, but I was going to do it so well that I ain't had no choice but to shine. Mm. And my younger brother, who for real was better than all of us, you know, he has a little bit of trouble academically. He was committed to UVA, but ended up having to go to a JUCO out in California. You know, so, I mean, it's in the family. You know, we all kind of did it at a high level, but, you know, I'm glad I was able to follow my older brother and then give my younger brother something to follow as well.
Yeah, that's hot. Man, you know, bro, to have the type of success you had in high school, I mean, dude, you won 37 games and lost 3 in high school, man. That is saying something right there, man. And, you know, as did you always know that you wanted to get into coaching?
It didn't hit me until I actually started coaching. I had been preparing myself since high school to be a coach.
Okay.
Even I'll have guys that I played with who may have been younger than me or even older than me come to me like, hey man, you remember when you used to make me stay after school to work out with you? You know, it's just like, you know, even leading the defense. Like I called the defense. Coach Morgan knew that we would build the game plan so well that he wouldn't have to send in the signal. I would call the entire defense by myself. And I think all of those things kind of just prepared me to be in this position. Yeah, I wasn't consciously thinking like, oh yeah, one day I'm going to be a coach. I just think it was just a natural progression of my football career.
Mm-hmm. And what do you attribute your work ethic to, man?
You know, just like knowing that I wanted more for myself growing up, you know, was had a, you know, pretty rough upbringing, man. It's just, you know, me and my siblings, we didn't have much, you know, and understanding that I knew what the guys in the neighborhood were doing and where they were ending up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking even at a young age, well, if they're doing this and they're ending up there, then I have to do something different to end up somewhere. So again, though I use that model, you know, as a tool to say that, use that as a what not to do. And I preach to these kids, man, it's like, yeah, you can do, you got choices. You got an option. You can either use it, your circumstances to say, hey, I want better, or you can fall right in line with whatever the guys are doing that could cause you to be in a spot that you want. So I don't know, man. It's just something that's in me. I can't explain it. It's not something that I had to work at. It's just like, that's just who I am. That's the only way I know. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I feel you. I feel you, man. You know, being one of the smaller kids in the neighborhood growing up, it was similar. You know, it was just like the one thing that I wasn't going to do was be outworked. You know, wasn't the fastest, wasn't the strongest, but you could not work me, you know? And so I'm going to beat you into submission because I'm going to outwork you. And when you tired, when you sleeping, I'm still working, you know? And that's just something that never departed from me, man. And getting to UVA and getting with the strength coach that I got to, and it was that whatever it takes mentality, man, you know, that fit right into my wheelhouse, bro. I was always ready to get that work.
That's how it is, man. That's how it is.
No doubt. So do the kids, when you say it to them, you have credibility. You've been there. You've walked the walk. Do they listen to you?
That's a great question.
They're teenage kids, so sometimes not. But, you know, as I, again, just try to, all this stuff kind of is like a cycle, man. As I'm thinking about my life and I tell them my story, it's about consistency. So if I tell them, like, yes, I was able to get where I'm at because I was consistent throughout my life. Now, if I feel like it made the message not be getting across, how do I get it across to them? I continue to be consistent. I continue to deliver the message. At some point, it's going to pierce their hearts. At some point. It may be, I might get this kid one day, I might not get another kid for 2 weeks. But if I continue to every day not let up on them, continue to pound that message home, they won't have a choice but to get it. And eventually somebody's going to get it and I won't have to do the talking because they'll be my mouthpiece when I'm not around.
Okay. That's hot. So being an undersized player, despite all of the accolades that you had all these D1 schools coming to your school to see these other players, and they can't help but notice the work you putting in. Who all was recruiting you, and what were you hearing from these guys?
So my first offer was Boston College right out the gate, my junior year. So I mean I was still getting some attention my junior year, kind of, some people would say early. At that time that was early, you know. Eighth graders and ninth graders weren't getting offers back then.
yeah.
Boston College came in, then UVA, Richmond, where Coach London was at the time, and the Navy. So those are my four offers. And the school up the road, they called me out of class to say, hey, man, you got the best film in the state, but you're too small.
Mm.
Duly noted. So that it just lit a fight for me. Just like, you know, I knew who at me was going to get a gym, and whoever, like, you know, decided to take that chance on me, I made sure that I was going to give them everything that I had. And Coach Grove did that, who was, you know, the coach still there at the time, my first year. And, you know, before he left, I made sure to thank him for giving me the opportunity, because, you know, again, not many people did. And he saw something in me that, you know, a lot of people didn't.
It's crazy how the little things motivate us, you know. Somebody telling you you're too small when other schools are offering you, you know, put on the tape, you can see what I'm doing. For me, UNC was at our school every day recruiting our starting tailback. Now I'm the quarterback and playing corner, and walking into my coach's office, my coach introduces, like, hey, you know, this is our quarterback, Tony Covington. The recruiter says, who? And I kind of looked at him like, the fuck? You know, and I just kind of, I side-eyed him and it was like, yeah, all right. I said, I'm the one that hands off the ball to the tailback that you want to come to your school, you know? And so, oh yeah, not nice to meet you. Never recruited me, never talked to me at all. I never lost to those fuckers as a starter at Virginia and terrorized their ass every single game. Every single game we played. I mean, so I had this hate relationship with UNC, even though my youngest daughter is just finished her first year there. So I'm a Carolina dad, you know, by that, but I hate them motherfuckers.
As you can see, Perry, it didn't bother him that they didn't recruit him at all. He kept it, you know what I'm saying? It was water under the bridge.
Hey, you know what? They did me a favor, quite honestly. They did me an absolute favor.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. So then, you know, you decide to come to Virginia. What was the determining factor for you? I mean, I know my man Chip West was after you tough, and it's hard to say no to Chip West. You know, my guy.
Wasn't even there yet.
Oh, he was. I thought he was. Oh, he was at ODU.
ODU.
He was peeping you at ODU.
Mm-hmm. He never pulled the trigger, but because again, you know, when I got the offer, my coach was just like, "Hey, you don't have these a lot of schools after you. If you like them, then you need to probably make a decision sooner than later because too many people commit in your position because I got recruited as a safety. Mm. If people commit in your position, then they're just going to pull the offer and then you're going to be, you know, you're going to be out back. Mm. Luckily, I visited the school, loved it. You know, good academic school, close to home. And, you know, if you guys remember Bob Pruitt, who was a longtime coach at safety's coach at the time, who actually recruited me. And that guy was like my favorite. So it's just like, well, I mean, I'm checking off all the boxes. So no need to wait. So Memorial Day of my junior year, I committed to school. So
nice.
And then they that's right. You got to school first. So you were at least one season with Al Groh before they let him go. Okay. So how was that once you got there though? I mean, you know, you were thinking that, hey, I'm going to Virginia to play safety, right? And then you get there and what happens?
So I'm in my dorm, remember like it was yesterday, in my dorm and I get a call from Coach Dex. Shout out to Coach Dex. He called me and was like, can you stop by the office? So after class, I go to the office, go talk to him. And he's like, hey man, we recruit you as a safety, but we want to give you a shot to start out corner safety right now. We want to start you off at corner. Me, I'm like, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses. And if y'all think y'all about to line me up against a 6'4", 200-pound guy that runs a 4.34, oh, no, sir. Nah. I was like, well, I was like, you know, at the time, I was like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. And I talked to Groh not too long after that and asked him about, hey, what do you think about me starting off at running back? And he's like, well, you know, you can start off at running back, but if you don't do well, we're going to move you back to defense. And that's all. So coming to camp, I'm number 7 on the depth chart. Number 7 by the ninth game. So just a hard work and dedication.
Which game? Because you cut out.
The ninth game.
Okay.
Played Clemson. Went into that game as a number 2 back. Had my stats were kind of weak. Had 3 carries. Like 6 yards, and I had a 38-yard catch. But that catch, man, it like kind of showed me like you can play at this level. And from there, like, you know, finish the season out, got a few more carries, not many. And then coming into my sophomore year, just took over the job and never looked back.
Yeah, because you only play really 1 year running back in college, and you play for a pass happy team, but
in high school
with that workhorse in high school, yeah. So yeah, that. They didn't have a lot of, as they say, film on you, but that's the thing, you were diamond in the rough.
Yep. Again, I committed my junior year, and I didn't play running back until my senior year. Mm-hmm. They hadn't even really seen me.
Yeah.
And then there were, Virginia had some folks, you know, Michael Simpson was there, you know.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, you had some dudes there, Rashawn Jackson.
Yeah, Rashawn.
You know, so you had some dudes that was there in front of you, but you know, it's almost a thing where you got a couple of carries, you got nine carries, you know, you made some special teams plays, you know, return kicks. Do you feel like it would have benefited you to be redshirted since you weren't utilized that much?
You know, at the time we were thinking like, you know, because me and a few of my close friends, you know, we came into camp and we just kind of kill conditioning. They sending them back good reports and coming into like training camp, we were like, we weren't expected to play, but we just went so hard all the time. It's just like, playing better than the guy in front of me. I don't care if it is kickoff. Like, but put me on the field. So I would, you know, you can look back and say, yeah, I could have redshirted, but I don't think that I wouldn't change it because I do feel like it did get me ready that much more for my sophomore year. Would an extra year have benefited me? Maybe, mm-hmm. but try not to, you know, look at it from that perspective. I you know, I was grateful that they saw something in me to say, hey, on the field now, 18-year-old, you have to play, even if it's all four phases of special teams and a little offense at the end. You know, I was grateful for that opportunity. So, you know, just looking back, I wouldn't change it.
Gotcha. And so how was it for you after your first year, getting in there, getting your feet wet, and you had to endure a 3-9 season? You know, you won more games. You lost the exact amount of games that you won that first year in high school in 3 years. How was that, bro?
That was tough. That was tough, man. It was a rude awakening just to say, like, you know, it's not the same no more. Like, it's a lot harder to come by wins at this level.
Yeah.
I kind of grasped that. I'm just thinking, like, what is going on? Because I know, like, I watched Virginia over the years. You know, I watched Chris Long. I watched Biscuit. Yeah. You know, I watched guys playing at great teams. So it's like, what's the difference? And once I realized, like, man, we got to get all these guys in the locker room on board. So when I came into my sophomore year, even then, only my second year into the program, I had to take on a leadership role to make sure that other guys were doing their part. I wasn't the biggest vocal leader. I wasn't going to, you know, saw some guy doing the wrong thing and cuss him out and get on him. There were guys that did that. But I just know that maybe if I go as hard as I possibly can and just, you know, show up every day, be early, make sure I'm, you know, you ain't going to see me at a party. I wasn't a party. You know, I'm just doing the right things. Maybe the other guys in the locker room will start to kind of see that and follow me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, coming in. But my sophomore year and taking on a bigger of a leadership role, that was my main focus. Kind of never really got fully on track, but you can sense the shift a little bit. I wish, you know, even that year, I wish we could have had a better season that year. My sophomore year, I feel like we had some pieces in place, but just could never get it clicking. You know, was able to make it to a bowl game my junior year and then just kind of, you know, didn't live up to expectations my senior year. But, man, it was a learning experience, man. It taught me a lot, and I take a lot of that, what I learned, even as a losing that first year. I, you know, bring it here now as a coach, use those same things to try to say, okay, this is what didn't work even at the college level. This is what we can do differently at the high school level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel that. I know it was challenging for me that first year, getting there in 86 and kind of just you know, used to winning in high school, and to get there that first year, I'm redshirt, so I'm not playing. You know, I'm got a cast on the sideline because I've had surgery on my hand, and watch us go 3-8. You know, and it was so hard for me, but it made me so determined. That whole class of 86, man, we just went to work that off season, and it was just like, all right. And we used to say our mantra, never again. I mean, I literally had a towel that said never again hanging. Yeah, you know, I'm like, I had the longest towels for a damn DB back then, bro. You know, but it was just different, man. We came in with a different mentality. We raised hell. But we were just determined, bro. We were a bunch of winners, even though we were young. And you know, we put guys that were veterans on the bench. You know, I mean, a lot of that class played, you know, as redshirt freshmen. And I think that set a tone for Virginia. We didn't care how old you were. If you wasn't about to work, we trying to win, period. You know, and that's all that really mattered to us.
Hey, Perry.
Okay.
When was you born?
What year?
Yeah.
1990.
Oh. Shut up, Ho.
1990.
When he said 86, Perry was like, oh, dang.
I'm graduating from Virginia in 1990. Thanks, Hulk. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you for making me feel old as hell right now.
Because I think Perry's about to say something.
I was just going to say, you know, to T-Cub, man, I don't know if you remember, just thinking about, you know, just changing, you know, feeling the tide, changing the program. My sophomore year, end of my sophomore year, that spring, we had like a symposium where I had a bunch of guys come through and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
You talk and the passion that you spoke with and the pride you had in the program. Again, I don't like it gave me just me personally. And I know it probably did for other people. It just gave me like a sense of like, we're not just doing it for us, man. We're doing it for the guys that built this thing. Like, we gotta pick this thing up. And again, like it carried over into that next season because I mean that next season we were, I mean, one game from the ACC championship. So you know, I want to thank you for doing that and a lot of the other guys that spoke, man. Y'all spoke a lot of life into us that day and it definitely meant a lot.
Yeah, it was so cool, man. I remember you asking a question too, and you were asking about leadership, you know, and you also asked I think it was you or it may have been someone else asked, you know, how do we, like, sometimes we don't necessarily feel on campus like we belong, like regular students look at us differently, like we don't belong here. And, you know, I was very impassioned about that from the standpoint of they don't understand that you have two jobs, mm-hmm. You know, you have a job as a student, as an athlete, and you have a job as a student. And they are both equally challenging at the university, you know, because, you know, think about University of Virginia. They don't care who you are. You have to hold an academic standard or they will put your ass out. They got no qualms about it, you know, and somebody else will take your spot. Trust, they dying to get there, you know. And I remember having that conversation with you, man, and talking about you and I talked about leadership. Like kind of offline, you know, and you, cause you were young and you're like, you know, how do we lead? I'm more of a quiet guy. And it was about lead by example. You don't have to be the rah-rah guy. I mean, I was a shit talker. So, you know, it was going, but I worked my ass off at the same time, you know? So it was like, either you can follow the lead from how I work, or you can get this damn tongue lashing I'm gonna give you. And, you know, my accountability measures will be severe because ultimately I'm about the team. You know, it was always about the team. And I think, you know, my thoughts were always to the media, even you can talk shit about Tony Covington all you want. Please do that. But don't you ever talk about my team because you don't know what we've been through. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think I took a lot of pressure off my dudes because at being a lightning rod, talking that shit, but I balled every week. And so they were like, damn. We can't get him this week. We'll try to get him next week, you know, and all of that didn't matter to me, man. Once we stepped on that 52x100, shit, lights out, lights out.
What's up, man? That's some good stuff.
Plain and simple. So then after that first year, man, you come in that second year, you start 11 out of 12 games. You and Keith Payne shared a lot of carries that year. Y'all were two different type of backs. You know, you had the versatility, great hands coming out of the backfield, but also being able to slash through. And he was that bigger back, that more of that pounding back. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, about that second year. And now you're getting your feet wet and now you're an integral part of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was going to be a lot of, you know, a lot on my shoulders. So I knew I won the job. So that spring of my first year, spring ball, I was number two all spring. Okay, that's fine. I'm not staying here, but right now. And I go into the spring game, and I have the best spring game out of all the backs. So, you know, they kind of let me know then just so I could be mentally player going into my second year, like, hey man, we giving you the keys, just don't crash it. So you know, again, just make sure that I was, you know, working extremely hard, man, just studying the playbook, meeting with my coach whenever I could, trying to do all the little things that was going to give me an edge. Again, I still have this, you know, this, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but it's a size thing. I got a guy behind me who's 6'3", 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. He like, come on now, like, who wouldn't want a running back like that? I need to pick up. Mm-hmm. So, again, even though that was, you know, kind of, you know, in a position rivalry, we always worked together to make sure that, you know, we were on board with what we had to do. So, I mean, once the season started, man, I just, you know, had my first carry that year was against Richmond. And I think it popped for like 38 yards and on a 60 power. I just remember that play to this day, man. And then from there, man, I just tried to do as best I can, make sure that I was on top of the playbook, not even just understanding my job. I wanted to know everybody's job. I mm-hmm. needed to, because knowing the blocking scheme made me a better running back. Mm-hmm. I need routes on the outside, because whenever they brought Keith in, sometimes they bring Keith Payne in, they was flexing me out to the slot. So I need to know that as well. So again, just trying to add as much value as possible. That was my main focus going into that second year.
How different was the offense? Because now you're dealing with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator. How was that transition for you?
It was okay. You know, luckily I wasn't deep into the playbook my first year, because I mean, I was, you know, special team guy. Mm-hmm. So Laser came in with his pro style offense, which I really liked. You know, we all were starting from scratch. So I knew all the in that aspect, the playing field was equal. So I knew I had to stay in his playbook and understand it inside and out as much as I could. And that would give me an even better chance to get on the field, understanding that I got guys behind me. You know, Raynard Horn, Torrey Mack, Max Million. These guys they wanted the spot too. I had to make sure that, you know, I was on my stuff. And then also not forgetting about the other guys and bringing them along with me.
Hey, can you discuss the maturation process as far as, like, when you got there, you got moved to running back per your request, but you were more than just a running back. You was versatile. You could catch the football. So how was that? How much work did you put in? Were you naturally gifted at? I mean, because Cub, one of your interceptions in high school, but you know, it's a little different when the ball is coming to you. And you were always a guy that was a natural pass catcher. It never seemed like you were trapping, like you could pluck the ball. So doing your workouts and stuff, did you really focus on catching the football more because you didn't have as much tape and notoriety as the other backs?
So again, I know that I need to know more than everybody. I need to work harder than everybody. Like, all these things were like, you know, I'm keeping this in mind all year, through my freshman year, my first year, and even in spring going into my second year. So, you know, as we're having these workouts, receivers coming out here to throw at 5 o'clock, I'm going there too. You know, I'm touching all these different parts. And like, I wouldn't say like that was something that I had to work at. Like, I didn't receive the ball that much in high school. I caught a couple of screens. That's about it.
Yeah.
So it was foreign to me. So how can I close this gap as quick as possible? And I needed to sit in on the meetings. I need to sit in on offensive line meetings. I need to work out with the receivers. I need to make sure I'm doing my running back stuff as well. So again, figuring out what my weaknesses was, and trying as best I could to turn it into a strength. And in that aspect, I think I did, because that was ultimately kept me on the field from, you know, first, second, and third down.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure we illustrated that, because it's a great story, because I didn't even know that you played running back just 1 year until Cub just shared that. That's what I love about when we do the shows, because I'm coming in it myself. I'm coming in it organically as a conversation. When he said that, I was like, damn, this whole time I thought Perry was just a stud at running back, because I remember your senior year. So now you get to UVA, and I think it's important to share to with not only the audience, but the younger folks of what you just said. Like, I'm working. When I went to the receivers, that was tough for me. It was a weakness, but I worked at it. I sat in the meetings. Like, I was working from the ground up. It's going to be tough, yes, and it's going to be frustrating, but I kept pressing away because all we see is the diamond. We don't see the cold. You know what I'm saying? We don't see you getting cut. We don't see you going through the heat. And I wanted to make sure that you communicated that, because that can't be lost, because all, like I said, all we see is the results, and we think I could go from here to here, and we don't pay attention to the middle. I mean, me and Cove always want to make sure we illustrate that, because that's what's so important. And that's why we really give you guys your flower, because you guys, like, you're just hearing your story, bro. And I'm gonna let Cove ask a question. It's a beautiful thing to hear, bro, because I'm plugging right now. You are definitely the underdog, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, he came in at 160. I didn't have an issue with weight. I actually had to lose weight when I got here. He came in at 160. I was short, but like he said, he came in at 160 with a cast, and he had to work his way up. My story is a little different, but just hearing your story, it's crazy, like, how y'all just went and took y'all shit. I'm going to just be honest with y'all. Both of y'all just said, this is mine. I'm taking my shit. Like you said, by the ninth game, I was second. Then the first, then the next year, you were first. He came in, he redshirted. By the next year, it was fucking paid in full time.
That was it, man. That's like, again, I remember even being in my being in camp my first year. You know, I'm fresh out of high school. We in camp. We in two-a-days. And a couple of, I ain't going to say no names, a couple of guys doing drills, trying to cut deals. Hey, man, like, take it easy. No, sir. I'm coming at that. I don't care. Get upset as you want to.
Yeah. The OGs with this, always OGs, though.
You know how it go. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. All right. Because right now, in this moment, it ain't about you. It's about me. Mm-hmm. You know? I was trying to protect your feelings and your ego and trying to make you look good. Maybe I'll cut a deal with you, but that's not why I'm out here. That's not why I'm out here. Like, I left home. My mama said, don't come back without no piece of paper. Mm. So I got to stay in school, and this is the way I'm going to stay in school. So I'm sorry, but you got to get this work.
No doubt. And speaking of that little segue there, it was a struggle academically initially.
It was. My first year, man, like, again, I was a really good student in high school. I didn't really try much. It just kind of came natural to me. And you can't take those same high school tendencies to college, because it's a whole different beast. When you've been in school for, you know, 4 days, and your professor say, hey, I need a 10-page paper by next week, huh? 10-page, I've never written anything over one page, and you need 10 of them? So it was definitely a learning experience for me, man. I had really poor grades my first semester in college. They had 2 Fs, a D, and a B. Mm. Sat in the dean's office, and she said, if you have another one like this, we're gonna tell you goodbye. And I could just hear my mom in the back of my head, don't come back without a piece of paper. I said, yes, ma'am. Next semester, straight B's, took 3 summer school classes, all A's. And from then, I just kind of, you know, maintained that. Mm-hmm. And anything less was unacceptable. So, and definitely shout out to my wife, man. She definitely helped me get through, man. She was my proofreader on my papers.
Hey, man, I almost got kicked out, too. I'm right with you. I struggled that first year. Mine was just because I was stupid. Like, I did, like, me and Womack just didn't go to, well, I didn't. I ain't going to incriminate him. I didn't go to class.
Yeah, it was tough.
I almost broke the code, cuz Steve Kerr popped up in my head. Don't break the code.
What I got to do with this?
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, man. So, jumping back into your work ethic, you know, and you looking at your weaknesses and turning them into strengths, out there working with the wide receivers. I mean, it paid dividends, you know, for you. I mean, while Payne was a bigger back, y'all still averaged 4.7 per carry each. All right. You were third on the team in receptions with 31 your second year. So that work that you put in was paying off. All right. So then as we roll into your third year, you started all 13 games, you know, talk about that season. Cause, you know, once again, it was a challenging season that second year, record wise, new system. But then you guys caught flame a little bit. yeah. caught flame. So that third year coming in, mentality was different. You had another couple of young boys coming in, Kevin Parks and Cliff Richardson coming in, and y'all all sharing carriers. So you Superman, mm-hmm. KP was the damn Hulk. And then you got Cliff, who was just a big ass statue type dude, tote that thing. So talk a little bit about that dynamic. And, you know, then you were having success as you moved along.
Yeah. So coming into that year, that is, I would say that's when I kind of, you know, we lost a few close games, my second year, and then going to my third year, I'm like, you know, seeing what we had come back, guys like, you know, Chris Bird and, you know, Mike Rocco had some time under his belt, and the old line, man, like, and I played in front of, you know, my third year had four guys on that offensive line who went to the NFL. So I was like, we got some guys. I started to be a little bit more comfortable. I started to speak up and use my voice a little bit more. And again, it turned into me just working hard, making sure that I was on my A game my second year. Into my third year, I started holding other guys accountable. Like the small things, you know, like guys not putting their chairs back in their locker. We got to have a conversation, because again, that shows what type of team we have. If you don't care enough to put your chair back into your locker, you don't care about this team. Mm-hmm. And then once you see, you can kind of see, it was infectious, man. Like it just started to spread, and guys were really buying into the system and what we were trying to do. And then it's like, guys were working hard every day. And I tell my team this, there's no way possible that you can work hard as you possibly can at something every single day and not see positive results. So when we kind of figured that formula out, it transitioned. Like it was a direct correlation to what we had been trying to do in that offseason. You know, it's just, you know, at one point we had coaches tell us that we had to make sure we're working out. Well, now, you know, it's the players are making sure that other players are showing up to the to workouts and showing up to meetings early and getting valuable information, and not just, and also sharing it with others. Like we got to make sure that each other are doing what we're supposed to do. And I think once we kind of figured that, you know, we started out kind of rough, again, finding something that was a motivational factor for us. After the Idaho game, which we barely won, which a team that we should have blew out, it was a article that came out in the paper just dogging us. And I think they called us they said we look like a middle school team or something like that. And that, from that point forward, it was a wrap, man. We were able to get it together and put together 8 wins and make it to the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
How was it for you when you got here, right? So when I got to UVA, I happened to have a former teammate here, Donnie Green, and then Kenny Crawford joined me here the same year. How was it having Tim here, a guy that was decorated, that was on the same team as you, used to winning, and a guy that had a similar work ethic? How easy did that make the transition easy? And then once you guys started playing again, was it like old times? Let us behind the curtain on y'all relationship.
Yeah. I mean, again, to this day, like I talk to Tim probably every other day, FaceTiming each other, man. We, you know, checking in on each other. You know, having him definitely made it easier. And we were like super competitive, like me and him, like personally, like we used to have workouts together. I remember even one time in high school, again, just figuring out ways. We, one day after we worked out together, we just had somebody throwing us jump balls in the corner of the end zone. Like we going at it. I'm talking about almost coming to blows because we're just that competitive. And he understood it because again, we played on the same high school team. We knew what it took to get there. It was like, okay, how can we mimic that here? So I knew that he was working hard as possible. That receiver group was really good. They played physical. Chris Bird, those guys really played, man. And just having somebody who knew, you know, kind of was kind of like a second brain for you. Like we can look at each other and like, no, like, hey, bro, this ain't right. Get your boys together. I'm gonna get mine together, and then we're gonna come together, and we're gonna get this thing looking like it's supposed to. So you know, having Tim Smith like we were roommate my first year, and you know, kind of talked about all of the things that we wanted to see go right with the program. And we knew we needed, first thing we needed to do was uphold our end of the bargain. And then once we did that, we could get other guys, because now they'll listen to me because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You ain't gonna listen to somebody like, well, you ain't coming to workouts early, or you're not getting extra reps. You're not doing that. So how can you tell me? So us having that common knowledge and agreement that this is what we need to do to get this thing rolling. You know, it was definitely good to have.
And you got to lean, essentially got to lean on him as far as when you work with receivers, because if he was your roommate, I mean, y'all close. So when he went to go work out, it was like, yo, Perry, come on.
Yeah. I mean, that was easy, man. It's just like, it was like, well, now it's, well, who's going to get to the field first? Because I know he was going to be out there. Well, I'm going to be out there first. I know the running back is going to be out there. I'm going to have, by the time anybody get out there, I'm going to have already had a workout. Then I'm going to get another workout when y'all come. And I'm gonna, and in my second workout, I'm going to look better than y'all looking now. And it's just, it was, again, just that competitive piece. You know, again, he came in his first year, had a couple of touchdowns as a first year guy. And so we should talk about it all the time. Like, bro, we can do some good things, man. And, you know, unfortunately he had an injury his second year, just kind of slowed him up a little bit, but he was able to kind of get it back on track. But, you know, again, that, man, that's my guy, man. Like, you know, probably my closest friend. Again, we talk every other day. I'm sure I'm gonna hit him up after I get off here. I'm like, look, man, when this episode drops, you need to, you know what I'm saying? Shout outs, man. So you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, we had Tim on too a long time ago. So yeah, that's my dude. That's my dude too, man. Love that dude, man. Them
great people, man.
Love that dude. Just, you know, I just believe in authentic people, man, you know, and I love when I meet them. We had that conversation, man, and you just know it's just 100%. You know what I mean? For sure. So then you guys were, you could see the program trending in the right way. You got to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You didn't win, but hey, successful season by and large, 8-5. You got some momentum. Your senior year is approaching. Going into that year, talk a little bit about the mentality. You know, because once again, you're still sharing a lot of carries with KP, but your receptions are continuing to go up each and every year. So I mean, you're playing a vital role. I mean, you are doing everything for the Cavalier offense from a receiver standpoint and running back standpoint. So talk about that last year.
Yeah, even just coming into that year with, you know, me and KP sharing bulk of the carries, my third year, his second year. With us sharing a bulk of the carries, like, yeah, that's my, like, we would push each other, like, and again, I knew that he was a dog. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, I mean, he might still be top five in America in rushing yards, like, in all high school football, like, yeah. He's still
high school numbers is crazy.
Yeah,
he's still, yeah. So I like, this dude is coming to play. He won my spot. I don't want him to take my spot. I'm gonna help him out as much as I can. We're gonna feed off of each other, but I know I still have to come in with the mentality like I am the dude, like, mm-hmm. And then also bringing guys along with me. So again, us having that, you know, that relationship, man, it was really special. And just, we try to just carry it over to the team. I mean, unfortunately I don't know, something was lost in between that third and then fourth year. Just things weren't clicking like they were, but, I don't know, man, just, you know, we just made sure that we were all doing what we were supposed to do. And, you know, just the rest kind of fell by the wayside, but it was definitely a learning.
Yeah, I think a big part of it, man, quite honestly, is, you know, Phil Sims coming to the program, and it was just so much, you know, is it going to be Mike Rocco? Is it going to be Phil Sims? You know, and I think that situation probably wasn't handled the best, and so it impacted everything. You know, I knew you didn't want to say it, but you know, I always keep that shit 100. So, you ain't have to say it, so I could. How about that? You know, but that, and that was just real, you know, and we all had a front row seat to it. That, yeah. You know, I'm commentating, so I'm seeing it on a weekly basis. And it was just too much indecisiveness going on, man. You had a solid running game, decent defense, but you know, the indecision at the quarterback and what to do, you know, so how is each guy going to have any confidence when he constantly looking over his shoulder at the other guy coming in? Cause coaches wanted to satisfy both guys. And, you know, look, everybody don't get a participation trophy. You know, everybody don't get to play. This ain't Pop Warner. You got to play a certain number of plays, you know, not at that level. And so I think ultimately, those were some of the things that were led to the demise of Coach London's career as University of Virginia's coach, you know, not really having a consistent guy at the quarterback position. And then when you had two guys that are serviceable, not being decisive on who's going to be that guy.
Even us as a team, like, we did have a meeting and basically said, like, we don't care who it is, but whoever it is, he needs to be the guy. Mm. Let's just rock out with this person. Like, we're good either way. Like, as a team, we need somebody to follow. Mm-hmm. Somebody to follow. And anybody who knows anything about football, the quarterback has to be, like, the guy. So, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, either way, we just wanted it to be whoever you decided on, we was going to follow, you know, tooth and nail. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. So,
yeah, and you know, when I think back on that season, man, you know, looking at the wins and the losses, it had to be challenging. You know, there were some bad losses. There were some, man, we should have got that game losses. Mm-hmm. A play here or there in a couple of the games. You know, turn the game around. You know, I think back to, you know, the Maryland game from that season. When I think back to the Wake Forest game from that season, you know, look back to the Louisiana Tech game from that season. You know, so there were so many games that year, you know, even the game that year in Blacksburg, you know, it was just so many games that were a possession or two away. And there was just so much inconsistency on the offensive side, specifically at the trigger position, especially when you got running backs like yourself, KP, you know, and Cliff. You know, it was disappointing, you know, to kind of see it, because we all felt like you had the weaponry. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the weaponry to make it happen. And just couldn't put it together. I mean, you know, you got, you know, DJ out on one side, you got Tim on the other side. And then, you know, as I said, you and KP doing the damn thing. I mean, you had some pieces, you had enough pieces, you know, and an offensive line that was more than serviceable. You know, you had some dudes up there.
No question. Yeah, man. It's just, again, like, couldn't put it together, but, you know, and I mean, just really looking back and speaking honestly, like that carried over into like other areas. Won't get too deep into it, but it's just like
into that shit.
locker room.
Say we had some locker room issues.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. It was just like, you know, some of the younger guys are come in feeling entitled. Played a role into it. You know, just inconsistencies amongst, like, even, I mean, quarterback position, but, you know, in other areas too, it's just like, you know, this is not the same. Like, it didn't even feel the same, like, going into the season as it did before. I don't know.
Well, it just sounds like the foundation and the culture was cracked. You know, and it's hard to build a house on a raggedy ass foundation.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's just what it sounds like to me. Because I mean, you know, so if it's in the locker room and it's fractured, then, you know, the product that's on the field is going to be fractured. It looked like on the sideline, things were, you know, weren't going the best, even though you just come off a bowl game. And so I think the expectations were extremely high at that point. And then to kind of, you know, look like everybody just pissed down their leg, you know, coming, you know, ended up with a 4-8 season your last year, you know, bro, I know that shit had to be disappointing.
It did. I mean, even from my own personal statistical standpoint, I mean, I had 400 some less, maybe close to 500 less rushing yards. Like that was what is different? Like, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it, even as the season is progressing. And we get to the last game of the season, and the way we were, you know, kind of gave up that last game, it's just like, you know, and then they came and said, oh, yeah, you guys still have an opportunity to make a bowl game if you beat Virginia Tech with 5 wins. And it's like, at that point, a lot of guys were like, I don't want an extra game. Like, this thing, like, that's, you know, start getting ready for the next level. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of guys. So, again, we just didn't put it together, man. And again, I almost say it's, you know, one aspect it was to blame, but I think it was an accumulation of, like you said, a bunch of small cracks that kind of turned out to, when they came together, it was big. And then once mm-hmm. I found it's a wrap.
Yeah, but that's a good segue, man. You know, guys getting ready for the next level. Talk about your experience in getting ready and opportunities and or lack thereof.
Yeah. So again, didn't have my fourth year. I didn't have the season that I had my third year. So I knew that already was a knock against me. You know, I was actually rated kind of like probably in the top 20 backs in the country after my third year. So when I didn't have the season that I had the previous year, and then you add on top of that the record of the team, it's just like, you know, I still put that to the wayside. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do what I've always been doing. I'm gonna work extremely hard. I'm gonna do whatever I can, because this is something that I've always wished for, something that I always worked for, and I'm going to make it happen. You know, training crazy, my body changed. I'm getting faster, I'm getting stronger. So I know, like, okay, I'm still gonna make this thing work. Go to my pro day, running my 40. I got 10 yards left. Pop my quad. So, and because I'm right there by the finish, I just finished through. So the time that they got was a 4.59. I said, what? But again, not knowing that I jogged that last 10 to 12 yards. So that's, and having that time down, also everybody knows the smaller you are, the faster you gotta be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after everything cleared, you know, 3 days of the draft go by, didn't get a call. Until it was like later that night, my agent called me and said, hey, the Baltimore Ravens want, you know, bring you in for a tryout. Just looking. So the next day after that, so I'm excited, even though it's a tryout, I'm still going to go do my thing, you know, do what I always been doing. The next morning, the Redskins called me. They said, hey, we want to sign you to a free agent deal. I'm like, bet. So signing over a free tryout, it's a no-brainer to me. So I'm talking to the scout. He's like, oh yeah, we're gonna call your agent, we'll give you a call back. Cool. So I'm ready to go to Washington for camp in the next week. So I call my agent, like, yo, what's so when I gotta be there, what day? So like, yeah, I told him no, because I pulled some strings to get you into the Ravens camp. I said, what?
Mm.
Oh.
Told this team no, who was going to pay me and sign to go to camp rather than a 3-day tryout, which I didn't even make the team. So I was like, that blew my mind. And that's why another thing, with especially with all this NIL stuff, man, like, these guys need to be educated and they need to do their research on agents and
mm-hmm.
they conduct their business with, because that can be the difference between you actually being somewhere and sticking, or you just getting a shot and then falling by the wayside and nobody never hear from you again. Huh? But, you know, whatever. So again, in my mind, I'm still going to do what I do. I go to the camp. They bring in two running backs, me and another guy from Louisiana Tech. And I ball out. I do my thing. Like, by the end of the camp, like, I got guys in the camp, like, calling me Little Ray Rice, because Ray Rice is still at you know, there.
Yeah.
And I always kind of made this joke, man. I said, well, I wish he would have punched his wife a year earlier.
Maybe. Oh, damn.
He's just maybe. Keeping it real, respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. Respectfully.
But, you know, I go there and I do well, man. And then I'm just sitting by the phone for the rest of the summer waiting for a call that never comes. And again, my agent's telling me, yeah, they're going to call. Never happens. So now it turns from being telling the Redskins no at the time was the Redskins, telling them no, and then waiting for the Ravens. But I got Coach Groh, again, who looks out and calls somebody over the CFL. Who wants to bring me in?
Mm.
No, we, you know, the Ravens are probably going to be calling soon. So, you know, we're not going to worry about the CFL.
Oh, your agent was trash.
Trash can juice.
Come on, man. It's just like, you know, and I don't know, bro. That definitely played a part in me not, you know, making it and sticking it at the next level. So, yeah, man, if any of the young guys out there listen to this, do your research, man. Do your due diligence. Make sure that whoever you decide to bring on is working for you. Because
facts.
Yes.
You don't work for them. And at the time, I didn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Yep.
But I didn't know. Didn't have nobody leading me to say, hey, and look at this. Or I don't know about your agent. They making funny moves. I'm just following suit because I think that it's vice versa. It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, man. Do your research. Do your research.
Dude, that's so important, bro. And that's something I say all the time. You are the CEO of you.
Yes.
You know, when you bring in some folks, you know where your chips are going. You know, agent, I said, all of them, I said, you sit at the head of the table as a CEO, agent, financial guy, publicist, whoever, everybody work for you. You need to know everything that's going on. When you hold in the meeting, you the leader of the board,
yep.
You know, and so you telling everybody what to do, everybody giving you a report. And if you don't like what you hear, be like, okay, well, I'm not comfortable with that. So do something different. You know what I'm saying? But if guys only know what they know, they only know what they know. That's why it's important, Perry, for us to come back and educate these young boys. Cause they, like I said, they only know what they know, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
For sure. So then after that, that's when you moved back to Charlottesville and got into your coaching career at Albemarle.
Yep. Started, you know, once coach and JV offensive coordinator. And I took pride in that thing, man. You know, I was able to, you know, make some bonds with some guys on that team. Like, I mean, I had one of my varsity running back at the time. And again, this is, 2013 running back at the time. He just reached out to me like a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's married now. Being able to look back and see those guys continue to flourish, man, it's a great feeling. That's why I'm in it. Next 3 years, I spent at Charlottesville High School. Coach Eric Cherry, who's still there, you know, leading that program. He gave me something that I think was one of the biggest things that kind of helped me into my coaching career now. Like, he would put me in positions that I had no choice but to lead. Yes, I was a leader as a player, but I had yet run into many instances that I'm the leader as a coach leading other young men.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed me to run the weight room. He gave me the keys to the weight room. Say, hey, look, man, get these boys stronger, get them faster. I got you, coach. Special team coordinator, this is your thing. I'm not gonna question. And we were playing Western Albemarle one time, and I just play punt on a punt team that trick play. I knew it. If I had the opportunity to call it, I was going to call it. And I just remember him looking at me, and I gave him a nod, and we called it. And it was a play that changed the game, man. And that kind of showed me, like, look, man, you can really do this. You can have mm-hmm. a future. So I thank him for that. And then, you know, move to Richmond, spend 2 years as a defensive coordinator, head coach step down. I apply for the job. And here I am 3 years later, man, as a head coach of, you know, Glen Allen High School.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Well, keep shining, fam. Hey, look, before we get you out of here, we got to ask you one more question, man. We usually end our episode with something called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that gets under your skin, but you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm an overcoming. I'm an underdog, damn it. I'm not going to let that hold me down. Holla at
us. Yeah. Coming into this program, and I had an opportunity to coach at other schools in the area. Schools that were winning a lot more than Glen Allen was winning at the time. And in my mind, again, as an underdog, I'm like, they don't need me. They already win. I want to go somewhere that when I look back on it, when it's all said and done, I'm going to say I left that place better than when I got there. And this was the place for me. This school, the team, again, nothing against the coaches before the head coach when I got here, but they were used to getting beat up on. You played Glen Allen back in the day, this was your stat game. So in high school, you're a quarterback, you playing Glen Allen. Oh, yeah, that's 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mm. Oh, you're a quarterback? Oh, yeah, I'm 150, probably 2 touchdowns. You're a receiver? I'm definitely going for 103 touchdowns on that corner. Like, they were used to getting beat up on. I come here and I change the whole mentality of the whole thing. Like, and I take, like, it's a reason that, you know, my first year as I get here in the spring and I was able to, you know, we didn't do well, go finish, I think, 2-8 or 3-7 or something like that. Then the following year, we go from 2-8 to 8-2 and make the second round of playoffs and lose to the state champions at Highland Springs. So, and again, just trying to change the mindset of these kids, man, it's been my biggest thing. Whether they make it in football or not, these guys are going to be better men in the future because of me. And I can boldly say that.
That's dope. Well, fam, we wish you much continued success. As I said, bro, got to get you around the program. You 45 minutes away. Anytime we can get you around, Coach Elliott want us there. Yeah. Because he wants these kids to understand, just like when you heard myself, Barry Word, and Ray Savage on that podium talk it with so much passion, and you realize that day, damn, this ain't just about us, it's about the legacy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We need to do the same, to impart that same wisdom into these young boys who, you know, sometimes they come in feeling like somebody owe their ass something. Yeah, and we, you know, we here to let them know, nah, bruh. Everything, you got to work for everything you get around this camp. That's what Virginia football is about. You know what I'm saying? And we got to let them know, fam. So make sure that we all around, fam. And, you know, those are the same type of things that you're going to impart into your players, bro. And bro, if I ever get down to Richmond on a Friday and get a chance to see you do your thing, bro, I would love to do it, bro. Would love to do it.
Love to have you.
No doubt. Well, fans, this has been another episode of The Lockdown featuring T Cub and the Ball Hawk.
Flying like Superman.
Indeed. And we want to thank former Cavalier great running back Perry Jones, aka Superman. Until next week, we are out.
757, another one.
We appreciate you, my guy.